Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My job is driving me crazy.
Sorry.
Do you hate your job or does your job hate you?
Sorry. Sorry, I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
My career crisis.
I called my boss a dick once in an email. I sent it straight to him. It took about 30 seconds for my brain to register what I'd done. Without thinking another thought, I went straight up to his desk and told him I had just sent him an email of a most personal nature, and it was by mistake, and could he please delete it? He made a big show of covering his eyes and deleted it, and then deleted it from his deleted items. Anyway, I'm sure he found it later on the server or whatever. His wife, who ran the business, was in the process of divorcing him, and he was sleeping in the office at the time. When I would turn up in the morning, he would send me to the shop for toothpaste. So, you know, he was being a dick. In fact, I seem to remember it was dear with many eyes. I was 23, working in fashion PR, and I had a crisis. I quit, I moved home, and I stayed in bed for a week, which is where every good career crisis should begin. I'm Ruth Barnes. Welcome to My Career Crisis. We are sharing your stories of workplace woe, and I'm joined by career guidance expert, founder of Creative People, Sue Ahern, who dishes out the solid, sound advice.
Hello, Ruth. Good to be here.
Hi, Sue. This episode, we are talking about redundancy and, of course, that post-redundancy moment. It's a crossroads, really. And we're going to be talking to our fantastic guest who's got a lovely story for us about what she's going through at the moment. But do you have any top tips for that moment? What day one of being, you know, being made redundant? It's quite an emotional, quite a trying time, I imagine.
Every change is a bit of a bereavement, really. And this is quite a big one, particularly if you've worked in a company for a long time. It's like I'm not wanted. But actually, the truth about redundancy usually is, for the most part, that it's about jobs, not people. So you are a piece of chess on a board and they're moving things around and you're surplus to requirements. Now, you can choose to take that personally, or second top tip, you can choose to use it as an opportunity, because the chances are a lot of people would not voluntarily give up their job because a rut is a rut, but it's nice and safe. And the third thing I'd say is don't panic and don't rush, especially if you've been given some money to support you for a while. Look at this as a fantastic opportunity, which could be the launch pad for a lot of different things. So you don't have to rush into that. Even if people, your friends, family say, haven't you got a job yet? You're going to have to be a bit more Teflon about that. And we can talk about that in more detail later.
And also the kind of dynamics of if you've chosen redundancy as well, that's a whole different leap, I suppose.
It is, but can be easily as scary, because you have actually done this to yourself. And if you don't get an immediately wonderful job paying a fantastic salary, you'll think, what the hell have I done? So, you know, whichever way the dice fall, and you know what women are like, we're really good at self-blaming. This can be a real crossroads. I think that's a really good word that you've chosen. I'd like to see it as a fantastic opportunity.
Well, someone who knows all about these feelings is our guest, Hannah Trickett. She took redundancy from her job as a manager at a commercial jewellery wholesaler's after being a designer for many years. Hannah, welcome to My Career Crisis.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. And I guess probably something of what Sue has said already must resonate with you.
Gosh, yeah, lots of it, actually. And I've decided to have a bit of time out and take that piece of advice, really.
Talk us through what happened with you.
I kind of knew it was coming. So they decided to move the company to Essex, and they were starting to suggest people could take voluntary redundancy if they didn't want to travel to Essex every day. So that was coming in the new year, but they didn't do so well. So they pulled me and my colleague that we shared the role with, pulled us in early and moved us out a bit earlier than everybody else. So
the voluntary redundancy one always makes me laugh, because sometimes I'm working with companies and helping them through a redundancy process, and they always say, what we'll do is we'll go for voluntary redundancy. And in their fantasy, all the people that they don't want to work there anymore put their hand up and immediately say, I'll go, please. And all the really good people stay. And of course, then what happens is often it's people they don't want to lose will ask for voluntary redundancy because they know they're actually quite marketable, and they're very shocked. I don't know why, yeah. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
So how did you feel when that happened? Oh,
it's strange because we were called up very out of the blue for a meeting. So it was a big shock. But me and Vicky just went out and had a bottle of Prosecco straight afterwards.
The only way to deal with that news.
Lunch and Prosecco. And yeah, it was really tough. And it was a strange time. And I think there's such a feeling of relief because I did need to move on. That's what I think you were saying earlier. I did need a change. You know, I've been there 16 years. I needed to move on with my life, but I probably would have just stuck at it, really.
And I guess it's stability. You have children,
yes.
So you have responsibilities,
exactly.
And suddenly that rug is pulled.
Yeah, and I've got the mortgage to pay and the kids to bring up. So, yeah, it was scary, but I sort of soon figured out that I started looking for work straight away. So I was looking for work, and then I sort of took a little bit of a sidestep back and sort of looked that I hadn't been around my family for so much. I'd always been working. The children hadn't had me around so much. And I thought, well, this is my opportunity to actually take some time out with them, spend the school holidays with them, and then think about what I want to do. My son was starting secondary school, so I wanted to settle him in there. So I just kept moving the goalposts back every few months. It'd be like, right, I'll leave it till then. So I got a very, very temporary job. So that sort of built up my confidence, actually. So I went through the whole interview process, got a job, but it's actually only been one day. But it built my confidence back up that I was kind of employable and I could go out and get a job in my chosen career.
So. It's interesting, I think, when you work in a company for a long time, you become institutionalised. And instead of, you know, and I know you rose up through the ranks and you came into management. So by anybody's estimation, you had a very successful time there. But it leads to the thought that, yeah, but could I work anywhere else?
Yeah, you do get completely stuck. And also because I think you almost become, you lose all your day-to-day skills because you're managing people. So, and as technology moves on within my industry, you know, people are moving into CAD rather than Illustrator. You sort of get further back from the day-to-day skills and you're managing people and pulling things together and going into meetings. So then you come out and you feel like the only job you can do is managerial. And to be honest, if I tried to look for a job at the same part of what I was doing previously in the same role, I haven't seen one in, you know, and I don't know if I'd see one in 4 or 5 years, really.
I think that there was a culture before where managers, you know, where you rose up the ranks and you were almost encouraged to leave behind what made you, you know, so skilled in the first place. You see that a lot when I was working in radio. And I think now there's a much more of an emphasis on people holding on to those skills and keeping them with you, because actually a lot of those jobs are now being sort of molded into one, which is why you can't see those jobs anymore. It must be so frustrating.
No, there's nothing. You feel like your choices just narrow down.
No, I think the only person who's narrowing your choices is you.
Probably.
sorry to be brutal.
That's why I love you, Sue.
No, it's really interesting the way you describe things, because you say, on a day-to-day basis, I'm lose it. I lost my skills. Yeah, but you gained a whole load of others.
Yes, yes.
And if you're looking for a specific job like the job that you left, then absolutely your choices are narrow. But you're actually, by the sound of it, an experienced and talented manager of people.
Yeah.
Well, of course, if you're only looking in jewellery companies, probably there aren't many jobs.
No.
But the fact that you're mature, you've got a lot of life experience, you have good management skills, all of that, it makes you very marketable. But you've just got to open up the scope of things that you're prepared to look at. I think.
Yeah, I am prepared to look. I guess it's the confidence, or even because when you do look at other managerial jobs, they do want experience in the field of what you're managing. So you've got to kind of broaden your interests elsewhere before you can then go.
But it's also about the way you write your CV.
Yeah.
And if the way that you write your CV is on what you haven't got, and I am afraid to say that a lot of the female CVs that I get tells me what they can't do and doesn't big up what they can do. So I think there's a technique for writing the CVs. But also, I mean, I'm just reminded, a very good friend of mine, her husband took early redundancy from a job that he was completely stressed out about. 58. So he left, started at home, just sort of being house husband. But my friend said she gave him 6 months, but she could see him age in front of her eyes because he wasn't doing anything. So she gave him a bit of an ultimatum and said, you have to get a job, even if it's part time. I don't care what it is. So he went to Waitrose. And this is such a funny story, because he went and he said, I only want to work 3 days a week. I don't want to work. And I want to work the same 3 days a week. They were incredibly flexible and said, OK. And he became the click and collect man, you know, and he takes the blind ladies to do their shopping and all of that. They all think he's the manager because he's 58. He's completely and utterly relaxed about it because it doesn't matter anymore. But they've just asked him to go on the leadership programme.
There you go.
And again, he said, but I only want to do 3 days a week. And they said, that's fine. You're so great because you're so relaxed. You've got so much life experience. You don't get into a strop or anything like that. We think you're wonderful and we'd like you to go on the leadership programme. So that's what he's doing.
Amazing. I love those kind of stories. I feel like we need to do something practical right now, which is, Hannah, you're sitting across from a CV guru.
Excellent.
What would the top kind of five things on your CV at the moment be? I guess they're in relation to jewellery designer and managing wholesale jewellery.
It's very jewellery specific. I have tailored it because I was sort of looking at more educational jobs. So there's a bit of a tailoring. So it's I'd say it just certainly needs help. What's on there? Gosh.
what's the top line?
It's ages since I wrote I can't even think.
My CV is so out of date.
That's an important point because, you know, people say, I have my CV, but I think every CV has to be written for a job. You don't use a generic one. The generic one's fine as a template, which is great. So you've got that produced. But usually with most jobs, you can ask for a job description for most jobs, and most big companies will have job descriptions, or they will use certain wording in the advertising, or if they're going through an agency, you can ask the agency. And what you need to do is reflect what they're asking for in your CV. I mean, so you make a judgment at the beginning. Yes, I've looked at that job description. I think I can do 80% of what they're asking me to do, which is good enough, I think. And then you tailor your CV to use those buzzwords. Some companies now even use software that picks up the buzzwords to see if they shortlist you.
Oh, that's wow, so that's cynical. Good. Oh, my goodness. It's awful. Like, where are the humans? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I guess that saves time.
So what you do, I mean, yeah, I'm not happy with it, but if that's the situation, but even if it's a human eye that's looking at it, you make their job so much easier for shortlisting if you've actually done the work for them and you've picked up the keywords that they need.
Yeah.
You know? Hannah, you mentioned that you spent a day teaching and that this was a big moment for you. And I guess when you have taken a huge leap and someone, or you've been made redundant, and just something as simple as one day of doing something that's given you a huge boost and galvanized you, and you've even changed your CV to go down a more education oriented route, that must have been a bit of a breakthrough moment for you.
Yeah, it was great. There was only maybe 2 weeks ago I did the actual teaching. I got the job ages ago. So that was funny because that was a real point where I stopped feeling like I needed to rush and find a job, even though I knew this wasn't going to make me any big money or anything. But it was that point where I thought, I can actually take a step back and think, do I want to work for myself? Do I want to refocus? But then I did the teaching and I was going into it feeling a bit like, I'm not sure how far this could go, but really enjoyed it when I was doing it. So there is a bit of that.
Were there elements from your old job that kind of fitted into that?
Yeah, definitely. Because as a manager, you'd get in a lot of people straight from university. And I mean, we saw a lot of CVs. We did a lot of interviews. So I kind of know a bad CV. It's difficult when it's your own. You know, I know it when there's a job there. But, you know, for your own, it's a little bit more tricky to be objective.
There's also a different way of looking at this. And so far, what we're doing is we're going down a route which we're saying, what job will be good for me? And another route to go down is to say, to think about life, and this is a really sort of awful word I don't like using, more holistically, because that makes it sound all Californian. But it's what do you want out of life? And it's been interesting hearing you talk about the children, because you've spent some time now spending more time with them. So if you're designing a job, forget about what the job is for a moment. Talk to me about how many days a week you want to work.
Oh, gosh, that's terrible at the moment. Three. Let's set that, really.
Right.
I'm really enjoying picking my son up from school and being around the school, and I want to keep that for a while. And I'm just, I actually don't know how I coped before. I mean, I was working every day, but I was a bit part-time, and I can't figure out how I got everything done at all. You know, two kids on your own with Zach, who's a handful at the best of times, you know. So yeah, 3 days. But I also want decent holidays, really, time to be able to, because holidays are just a tricky.
But can you see that it's a completely different way of looking at it, that yeah. You look about what you want in life. I sometimes when I'm sort of working with people, I've got a list of things and I ask them to put them in order. And some of them, so things like wealth, you know, and people can be sniffy about that. But as you say, you've got to pay the mortgage. Mm. So, and I don't particularly want to be worrying about the gas bill every quarter. So what's the minimum that you can work for? It also might affect any benefits that you get. So that's worth sort of factoring in as well. When I first left a big company to set up my own business, I would do this list, and top kept coming independence. And I thought, it's time for me to leave. I have to leave. And 3 weeks after I left, I discovered I was pregnant and my husband's business was going down the tubes. Mm. So that perhaps wasn't the best decision in retrospect. But actually, taking a longer view, it was really good that it happened at that time, because I probably would have stayed and that would have been a bad choice.
Yeah.
So, but I think looking at your life and what you need in your life is really good. I mean, is it important to you that you do a prestigious job?
That no.
You, so that's not important.
Particularly. I mean, there are things that I'd love to do. You know, if I stay in jewellery, the only place I'd like to go is into sort of fair trade jewellery. So, you know, but it's not after the prestige, it is after more the essence behind it, I guess, and moving away from the commerciality and the unethical side of jewellery. So if I stayed in jewellery, I'd like to stay. Do that, really.
It's bizarre. I never thought I'd hear those words, the unethical side of jewellery. But I guess it's like fashion. It's like any part of the fashion
it's
business.
Much more unethical than fashion, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you got some
suppose
horrible stories?
Stones.
Yeah.
Gold.
Yeah.
Gold. And this is what some people have been doing, is fair mined gold.
Because the other interesting thing to ask yourself is, what should be a hobby and what should earn your daily bread?
Mm.
And so when you start a business, I speak from personal experience, it's not just the skill that you have. You have to be a marketeer. You have to be a salesperson. You have to be. That's really hard work before you actually get the job. And the question to ask yourself is, do I need that stress at this moment?
Yeah.
God help us, we'll be working till we're 70. So you've got plenty of time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe when the kids are a bit older, you could go into jewellery or whatever.
Yeah.
You need something that suits your needs now.
Yeah.
It feels like contributing, making your contribution, doing something that really matters is very important to you at the moment.
Yeah, and I think it is.
Is that something that is quite common when people have this sort of massive life change? They suddenly take stock, look at their life, what they were doing, and think, hang on, do I need to do something that means something?
Yeah, it is very common, but I would always be very pragmatic about this. And I always think of life in phases.
Mm.
And I think women are more like, if I do it now, you know, I've got to make this big change, I've got to do all of this. In 5 years' time, your life might look completely different.
Mm.
Your kids will be much more independent. And so I don't want you to sort of think 20 years down the line, just what suits me now. Now, it might suit you now to do more of an educational thing because that blends in well with the children. You could still design jewellery on the side. You could still keep your fingers in that sort of arena. You know people who do fair trade, talking to them, building that up. And so in 5-6 years' time, when they're more independent, you could launch into that. It's, you don't have to do one thing or the other. You can blend them.
Why does this matter to you now, Hannah? What's changed?
I guess there's always a slight thing. I like that idea, and it is kind of in essence of where I'm kind of falling. But I guess you worry a little bit about if you wanted to get back into your industry and you've got this gap, you know, of particularly as a woman, you know, I've got this gap, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, it's a weird way around to do it, because so many of my friends, when their kids are getting to 11 and 13, they're going into work, you know, they've been, whereas I've done the reverse. I think my kids need me more now.
They do.
So than when they were little. When they're little, they can be looked after by lots of people. I think they need you more mentally when they're older. And when you're working full time, your brain is so tired, you haven't got that sort of mental energy to give them. So, yeah, I feel like now is a good time to just, like you say, step back a bit and then go back into what I do later. But then I just worry about how employable I'll be at nearing 50 and not having worked in the jewellery industry for 4 years.
All of it is about the narrative that you tell about the gap. And actually, you're not going to... Okay, you might not be designing jewellery professionally, but you can still be doing it.
Yeah.
You can still... keeping your contacts up is actually quite important. Yeah. And you can do that online. There's so many other different ways that you can do that. So it's not like you're going to be in a cupboard for 4 years. You know, you are still going to be around. But also, if I saw you interview, what I'd be wanting to know is, well, why did you do that? And I think you've got a really interesting story to tell.
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Did you treat yourself at all with any of the money?
Yeah, we went... Oh, well, I took me and the kids. The three of us went on a road trip across America for 4 weeks.
That's wonderful.
And we're slightly... I've still got this little one for next summer that, because I've got a cousin in America and a cousin in Brazil. So I'm like, can we do Brazil this summer? Can we do it?
Definitely do
it. I know
it.
Part of me is like, I really should save that last bit of money, or shall we just blow it on a trip to Brazil?
But I think what's interesting about... I would totally agree with you about when your children need you. I mean, mine are grown up now, but... I would, you know, if I ruled the world, wouldn't it be a much better place? But if I did, one of the things I would really like to do is, when you have maternity leave, I think you should be able to choose when you take it.
Yeah.
And taking it at 13, I think, is quite...
yeah.
Because they're much more needy.
Oh,
you know,
gosh, yeah.
It's more difficult for you when they're a child, because, you know, your heart is broken every time you hand over a baby. But actually, they're oblivious. They,
so
they don't remember.
Yeah. I'm handing over a 20-month-old at the moment, and she couldn't care less.
No,
she goes into nursery with windmill arms, like high-fiving everybody, and she's like, see ya, Mum. And I'm like, I just want to say I love you. And she's already, you know, watching Peppa Pig or whatever. So.
And when they're 13, 14, 15, they are more troubled. And also, you can't say, OK, here is half an hour of my quality time now. Do you want to tell me your problems? Because they really don't.
No.
It has
no,
to come out in bits.
Yeah.
So I think the choice you're making about your kids is really excellent, you know, and the redundancy seems to have come at a good time for that.
Yeah, yeah, it did work, because Zach was really struggling with transition, so it was, yeah, it was a good time to...
Should we hear from somebody else's career crisis?
Yes.
My career crisis.
Here we go. This is from Anonymous. Most people are anonymous when they get in touch with us. That's okay. We encourage you to just be honest. That's all we want. So Anonymous has got in touch and says, I am a writer-journalist / journalist with an unusual problem. I love work too much and I seem to be pretty good at it, as I'm being offered more work than I can possibly do.
I'm in a great position, as I have reached the point, lucky me, where even after I've turned down the things I don't really want to do, there are more things being offered than I can actually do, and I'm finding this hard. I regularly work over 15 hours a day and at weekends, which has an impact on my friends, relationship and family, but I do love my work. How can I rationalise my work life? Well, this is a good one to come off the back of what we've just been talking about.
I think what's really great about what she said is that she's got to the stage where she knows she can say no and they will still ask her. And that's a really, when that first happens to you as a freelance, that's a real breakthrough moment. Because I think we're all terrified that if we ever say no, somebody won't ask us again. And that's not true. If you're really good at what you do, what possible incentive is there for you not to get the work? But what I would say to her, there's a great Woody Allen quote which says, nobody on their deathbed ever said, I wish I'd spent more time at the office.
Yes.
You know? And okay, maybe it's really exciting now when she's younger. But as she gets older and maybe her friends get married, start having children, and she's still working 15 hours a day. I mean, if you're happy with that, go with it. But it's just trying to look at life in the round a bit more.
I think she's got one of those jobs that she obviously loves as well. You know, she's a writer and a journalist, so she's writing, writing, writing. I mean, wonderful, you know, hopefully her muse will keep her writing for you know, many years. But it's one of those things where you have to actually force yourself, I think, to prioritise your friends and relationships, because it can be so easy to get lost in that.
Well, it's not only that. If you're in a creative industry like that, I mean, I was a journalist myself, you have to have a life to write about.
That's true.
Mm. You know, if all you're doing is, where else are you getting your ideas and your stories? You're reading off somebody else's newsfeed. Mm. You're picking up things from the Daily Mail or whatever and seeing, how can I turn that into a magazine piece or whatever? Well, what about life experience? I mean, I think it's wonderful sometimes when you read a piece, a comment piece in a newspaper about something that's actually happened to somebody and the way that they write about it. It's completely different from something that's secondhand. So all I would say is that her growth as a writer and as a journalist is going to be stunted unless you has a life. Is that brutal again?
That's maybe very brutal, Sue.
Just having a
That's
beautiful
fine,
day.
Though. We like that. Hannah, it's been nearly a year, am I right? That you,
yes,
when
it
was
it? It was February.
Tell us, how has that year been for you? Walk us through it. I guess it's been a massive emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, yes.
Anxiety.
I'd say the first bit was kind of always just looking for jobs, constantly looking, and then it would get to a by the end of this point I'm going to have a job, and then it sort of, and then it got to, I think Easter, we got to Easter and I went, do you know what, I can actually work out how I can survive on with like this, and actually I can survive, let's do this summer holiday. So then it was just like, right, I'm not looking for work. Suddenly, you know, my parents, even though I'm 44, are going, are you going to get a job? I was like, well, not for now.
There's always Waitrose. Yeah. Sounds great. Honestly, it sounds brilliant.
But you made a really interesting point there about your parents, because I think the other thing is about, you make these decisions for you and not to please anybody else. And it sort of makes you feel guilty, doesn't it?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They're only saying it because they love you and they want you to be happy. But at the same time, there's a guilt feeling that maybe I should be looking for a job. Am I a failure because I haven't got a job?
Yeah.
I think as long as your sort of internal narrative is, isn't this year been wonderful? I've made Zach's transition marvellous. They're really happy. They're really stable. I'll get a job. It's how you answer that question. No, not yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to have a look in the new year or whatever, you know. It's getting those lines right so you don't sound as though you're on your back foot all the time.
No. It's been really nice since September, to be honest, because I've been doing yoga and I was swimming this morning at the Lido and been doing some volunteering. So
now tell us about
really
the volunteering, because I know you've been working with adults with learning difficulties. How's that been?
It's great. It's amazing organisation that support adults with learning disabilities in through arts and music, and so I help out at a sort of weekly, I guess it's like a course where they just can take part in loads of different activities. So that's been amazing. I'd love to see how I could use that. Because you can do sessions, so you can do a morning or an afternoon session as a sort of freelancer. And I haven't offered it out there, but I'd quite like to do some sort of jewellery workshop. So yeah, I'm kind of setting that up secretly in the background, hoping maybe I can do that sometime.
Is that something that you could spin into a job?
It's something I'm thinking about, because this is based in Deptford and I live in Hackney. So, you know, it's whether I can do something similar in Hackney. I have just started to look what is on offer for adults with learning disabilities in Hackney.
What experience do you have in that area?
Well, my son's got Down syndrome, so it's kind of an interest of mine. My mum was a special needs teacher. I'd kind of thought about children, and then I just thought, I've got children. I don't really want to work with children. And to be honest, I went to an event with my son and just really liked this organisation, and I saw that they wanted volunteers and I wasn't working. So I thought just be a great place to go, and it is. The people there are amazing. Yeah.
But what's so great about that is that's a whole new sort of network of people for you to know. Yeah. And networking is so important, and I think it's never been easier to network than it is now. You know, certainly, because I am very old, when I was young, you had to physically go to things. And if you had small kids, it was really difficult. Now we've got these online communities that you can talk to. I found them incredibly helpful. You have a question, you ask somebody, people will give you contacts. So I think all of that's to be exploited as well.
Brings us neatly on to our second question from our lovely audience.
My career crisis.
Anonymous number two. I had a job on a community forum, which was flexible working heaven. I've moved to a more senior position and there's less flexibility in terms of working from home. Add to that the parenthood trap when you want to consider having another child, so you have to wait around in a job you don't like just to get the maternity pay. I now see my son for a sum total of 30 minutes a day, Monday to Friday. It's deeply distressing to think I made this choice to further my career and give us more financial stability, but the cost is the lack of family time we now have. I feel like I'm letting everyone down and I'm miserable. I left a creative job for the money without realising that I've never been motivated by money before, so why would I be now? So it's just, I read that and honestly my heart bled. I just thought the thought of 30 minutes a day with your child and you're in this job that you know is kind of all, for all the right reasons, I suppose, on paper, but so wrong in your heart.
But if she's decided that money isn't the motivating factor, well, why doesn't she try and negotiate a return to what she was doing before, especially if she wants another child? Again, it's not forever. It's for the next couple of years, you know. And I see a real resurgence in women now. I see them because I work in a lot of consultancy work. There are so many women who are 50, 55, 60 who are coming back because they're sensible. They get things done. They've had their kids. They don't have to pick anybody up from school. There is life after children. Mm. But this is a crunch point because you're trying to work. You're trying to earn money. You're trying to be the perfect mother. They'll give up on that one, I can tell you. But I do think that if you go back to what we were saying before about what does my life need at the moment? So she wants to see her children more. So maybe, I mean, there are two things. Is it inevitable that the management role that she has gone into has to work so many hours? I think that's worth trying to negotiate.
Definitely.
Because I think sometimes they think that's the way that it is. But if you can offer them a different version of that and still get the work done, so much the better. I've successfully helped people negotiate working one day at home or whatever. But you've got to be working. But it does allow you to drop off, pick up, that sort of thing. But if that's not the case, then maybe that role is not right for her at the moment. So could she not negotiate a less pressurised job pro tem?
I think, you know, I will celebrate the death of the 9 to 5. I already feel like it's going, you know, or the 10 till 6, because I can't work like that. I don't function well between those hours. Just generally, I'm much better working very early in the morning or late at night, or I don't know. I just feel like if people were more flexible and if businesses had more flexible HR plans where they could say to somebody, OK, no problem. If you're guaranteeing us you're going to do 3 hours of work between 8 and 11 at night, you know, that's fine. We'll know you've been online. You can trace everybody's movements now. You know when someone's been working or not. It's just depressing that you have to fit in with this very archaic, very old view of what a working day
There's
is.
There's so much research to show that the productivity of people who work from home is actually higher. Also, they're loyal and more motivated because they don't want to give up this job because you've allowed them to work at home for 1-2 days a week or whatever it is. So they're very, very motivated. But they don't have a commute, so they're not stressed. You know, lots of big computer firms are doing it all the time. But I would say there are some jobs you have to be there. Nursing, probably couldn't do that from home. But there are lots and lots of jobs with a bit of imagination. And it says more about our management class having very little imagination or being scared and insecure about people not under their nose.
Yeah.
I'd always negotiate it, though, see what you can get away with.
Definitely. I feel like you need to write out a plan and almost present it to them. And just say, look,
think
this
like
is
them.
It.
Think like them.
Right.
Think, why would I not want to give this person flexible working? And then work out how you're going to counter that. And make a business case of it. Don't be emotional. That's the other thing. We're all very emotional about it. If you make a really good business case, it's more likely to succeed.
If you have a career crisis and you want to come on the show or just send us a message, we'd love to hear from you as well. Best place to get in touch is Twitter at My Career Crisis. If you follow us, we'll follow you back and you can send us a message. Hannah, let's go on a really personal note. What's it been like this last year when people have said to you, "So, Hannah, you know, how's the job search going?"
Well, I've been, my recent line is, I'm my own housewife. So I'm a housewife for myself. I spent 16 years working, so now I'm going to be a housewife. And the house has never been so messy. Because you don't actually have to do housework if you're not working the next day. Because when you're working, you have to do the housework when you've got that window. But when you're not working, you can go, "Oh, do it tomorrow." So, it's, yes, just a mess.
But isn't it interesting how you've got to defend yourself?
Yeah.
You know, I have worked for 16 years. Yeah. I'm not a slacker. Why don't you just say, "I'm having a fabulous time. Thank you for asking."
Yeah. Well, if people ask now, I just tell them of my social life. Yeah, I'm going swimming. Yes. Doing my yoga.
Hannah, what positive steps are you going to take from this?
From this today?
Yes.
I'm probably not going to worry so much. And I am going to try and probably slightly refocus. I'll look at some of the educational side. I wonder if there's maybe some other places I could do something similar to what I've done before. But I probably will take it a bit easier and work it around, you know, my family life and make sure I can sort of maintain where I am with the kids and our relationship now. I think, you know, that crucial teenage point, I think it's more important. And it's just always keeping an eye on your finances, I guess. You know, as a sort of single mum, you've just got to kind of constantly just keep a check on yourself, which I do. Yeah.
But if you think about it, they'll never forget America.
No, exactly.
They'll never forget that.
Or Brazil.
You've
got to do it. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for listening to My Career Crisis. Please do subscribe to us and review and rate us in iTunes. It means a lot. Thanks.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.